from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Totally forgot about the Terrell Edmunds signing. Meant to talk about it in our show opening six-pack. I don't know. Does that reflect on my opinion on Terrell Edmunds? I don't know. Maybe it does. Like yeah, I want to talk about that, but it's... I felt the same way when he was here. That he's a guy, but... I don't know that the whole league's going to be clamoring for him in free agency, and I was proven right on that.
No.
He's just another guy. I hate to say that, but in the NFL, that's the category he fits into. You know
he's
what I mean?
He's solid. Like,
he's
not,
all right.
Not a great starter, but as a third guy,
right.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
All right. Mike Tomlin's going to talk about the quarterbacks he's going to be forced to here. We'll see what he has to say going into Denver for what could be the Russell Wilson Bowl, right?
Bob is introing it right now, and I think it probably will be Russell Wilson, but will he say it today?
I wonder if Bob's 50-50. Wearing his glasses or if he chose because of your insult yesterday not to wear them to this big event.
He is not, and I actually texted Bob. Would you like to hear what I texted Bob?
Yes, I would.
Bob, I apologize greatly for my insult that was not meant as an insult in any way. Now Shelty is scolding me. The Godfather deserves the greatest of compliments at all times. Pompin' and easy.
Did he get back to you?
Bob said, LOL, why did you guys bring it up? I was never upset. Starkey's stirring the pot. I said, I know, Bob.
He's lying. All right. Other questions to answer here regarding the Steelers. Some other injury questions going up against Sean Payton. They've had some interesting matchups. One I can think of in particular in New Orleans, the famous Roosevelt Knicks signals for a first down when they're still 5 yards short. Game, remember that one?
Very fondly.
That was Antonio Brown's last game as a Steeler, I might add, city limits.
Remember Chase Claypool signaling for first down with 30
yes.
seconds left in Minnesota?
Who could ever forget it? Feels like a chance for the Steelers to have a big start in a division where there are some problems. Cincinnati's got some problems. Cleveland is a problem. They don't have problems. They are a problem. It's 12:04. Why is Bob still talking?
Mike Tomlin must not be ready.
Okay.
He's getting to the podium, getting ready for his good afternoon.
Baltimore actually looked pretty good. They went toe-to-toe with Kansas City, but I don't think they're the team they were last year. I think this could be an enticing little situation for the Steelers. But you got to get off to a big start because of the back half of your schedule, you know? These are games you need to win. Even though you're an underdog in Atlanta, they're Atlanta. You got to win that game.
You got to start 3-1. Whether you lose the Indy game or the Charger game, whatever it might be, 3-1 and get a leap start in the win category because it's going to get a lot tougher at the end. I mean, this is where you got to stack your way in the schedule if you want to contend late in the year.
Every win that you put in the bank is a little block of gold at this point. It truly is. And they have a nice chance here with Anthony Richardson coming up, with Bo Nix this week. Two more quarterbacks that I think with a healthy defense you should beat.
Let's be realistic. There's no reason they should lose this game on Sunday. None.
I mean, agree.
I know you're on the road and they've had trouble in Denver before and altitude, whatever. Playing a rookie quarterback that Tomlin has done well scheming up defenses against rookie quarterbacks that struggled in his first game, and it's going to be the Russell Wilson revenge game. That's not a game you should lose.
Now it's 12:06 and still no Tomlin.
Do you think Tomlin waits for Bob to be done introing him?
Everybody waits for Bob, and very few people insult Bob other than you.
It's still stirring that pot, I see.
Other issues, Jalen Warren, is he going to get a little more of the workload this week? The backup receivers weren't good. Coming up after Tomlin, I'm going to tell you a PFF thought of Justin Fields. I think that's going to open some eyes when people see the grade that they gave him for this game.
Is he a Ray Fittipaldo grader? All right, here we go. Here's Tomlin.
Good afternoon. As always, I'll start with a quick review of our last performance. As I said after the game, man, it's just really gratifying to go on the road in week one and secure victory. You have the natural things that come with week one. All teams deal with that, the unknown, the 60 minutes of football from a conditioning perspective, the attempt to make routine plays routinely when we know in week one sometimes it could be anything but routine. Couple that with, you know, quarterback instability that popped up during the week, man, I just thought our guys handled a lot of the circumstances very well. And to secure victory under those circumstances, I think it's just it's not only the necessary win of the week, but this growth in that. There's individual and collective growth in dealing with variables and challenges in this journey and overcoming them. And so it's good to get some of that done. I thought specifically about the game. I just like the energy and enthusiasm of the guys. In week one, you worry about that football conditioning component. Will guys play with great energy and finish throughout? I thought in all three phases, our guys did that. They played hard. They played together. I thought we complimented one another in a lot of ways. You can't say enough about Boz's kicking, obviously. But I thought the offense's sequence there before the half was significant in terms of answering that score and putting up a field goal before the half and bringing us to within 1 point of those guys. I thought the defense stood up a lot in the game. The turnovers I thought were big. The plays down the stretch. I just thought as the game wore on to our defensive front, our rushes in particular really control the game. What can you say about T.J. Watt that hadn't been said in terms of his quality of play? We expect it, but we appreciate it. We got a lot of good things done. There were some things that obviously need to be improved. Low-hanging fruit is the penalties. I thought penalties were catastrophic to our efforts, man. We had some big plays and field-flipping scenarios negated by penalty. So we got to grow there. And we'll put our focus appropriately there and improving in those areas. And it happened in a variety of ways. We had penalties in the kicking game, in the return game, blocking people in the back. As I told the team yesterday, you got no chance for splash in the kicking game with penalties. And so it starts there for us. Before we can talk about the exploits of guys like Calvin Austin or CP or Jalen, man, it starts with us being good fundamental blockers and positioning ourselves to get and maintain blocks in a legal way. The field position component of that is catastrophic, and we felt the result of that in game. We have some pre-snap penalties offensively and defensively that we need to continually clean up. Those procedural things, it's kind of reflective at times of September ball, but at the same time you acknowledge that it's JV. If we're going to be the type of team we need to be, man, we can't lose downs pre-snap on either side of the ball. So with some of that in play, it needs to be addressed. Then obviously on the defensive side of the ball, man, I thought we warmed up to it initially, that opening drive. with Bijan and company. I thought they controlled it. And so we got to start fast. We're not afforded an opportunity to warm up to it from time to time. And I thought the same could be said offensively. We had a fumbled CQ exchange on the first snap of the game. We missed some opportunities there early. I thought we were warming up to it. And we just got to be ready to play 60 minutes. We got to burst open the locker room doors and go to it. I just think that's reflective of the mentality and the readiness you got to display in this league. From an injury perspective, Cam Johnston obviously has a major knee injury. I would imagine he has a surgery scheduled here in the upcoming days, and so he's lost for the year, man. I'm really disappointed for him. This guy's been spectacular for us. He's punted the ball extremely well in a short period of time he's been here, but as impressive as his punting is his professionalism and approach to business. He's an awesome teammate. He's a hard worker. He quickly earned the respect of the guys because of that. And so our heart aches for him, but we acknowledge it's part of our game, just like challenges are a part of life. It'll create an opportunity for us to do business with Corliss again. And we're familiar with Corliss, excited about him. He was on our expanded practice squad, I think, in 21 during those COVID years. And really had an opportunity to develop while here. He developed his holding while here. He didn't have a lot of holding experience in college, and so, you know, Boz and company were a component of his growth and development in that area. He left here in 22. He was a punter in Denver, and so specifically as it pertains to this weekend, he's really familiar with the environment that we're going into. And so those are some of the reasons why we're really excited about Corliss and bringing him into the fold. Darius Rush is in the concussion protocol. I don't know what stage of the protocol he's in, but there's a level of anticipation in terms of him getting out of it. We'll take it day by day. Dan Moore had an ankle that swelled up on him yesterday that may limit him at the early portions of the week. We'll see where that leads us. Expect an uptick in the participation of guys like Roman Wilson, who's working his way back to us, was a partial participant at times and so forth, man. We're excited about getting him in the fold and seeing him maybe take a step. We'll see where Isaac is tomorrow as we go through the week and measure his participation, if any, and let that be our guide in terms of his inclusion. And the same really for Russ. You know, I just visited with him. He feels better today than he did over the weekend, and so what that means, I don't know as we sit here today. I know that we're going to take the same approach that we take with a lot of people in terms of injury. We'll first start with his participation and his level of participation, his quality of participation. Over the course of the week, we'll be analyzing whether he's capable of protecting himself, whether he's capable of being productive. When we get to those, you know, when we get to those points, that's when we'll ponder his inclusion or not. And when that happens will probably be a component of that equation. But as I sit here today, we're preparing as if Justin is going to be our quarterback. I think that's the appropriate way to do it. Speculation is a waste of time. Russell's hurt. He's not available to us. And so, as you guys know, as a general practice, man, I focus my energy on those that are available and their readiness. Just saw Justin. He just finished a good workout here today and excited about maybe going through a complete week with him in terms of the preparation process. But again, we'll take it day by day. Russ is not scheduled to work in totality tomorrow. To what degree, I do not know. And then we'll play it by ear from there based on the results and the things that we see in terms of whether or not we consider him and to what degree we consider him. Now on to Denver. The first thing that I think about when I think about going to Denver is the environment, particularly at this portion of the season. It is a hostile and challenging environment in a lot of ways. From a crowd noise perspective, from a conditioning perspective. And so, you know, we can't run from that. We got to run to that. We need to prepare with those things in mind this week to get ourselves in the very best position to perform from a conditioning perspective, to work with crowd noise, particularly on offense and in those weighty moments We did similar things last week in terms of preparation for Atlanta. And so it's helpful to us to have that experience under our belt this week as we prepare with those things in mind. If you look at some of the things that they're going to do on offense, it starts first and foremost, man, with Coach Payton and how he draws up the schemes to highlight the strengths of his people. I see it, and I see it very clearly, man. He did some really awesome things in terms of bringing the game to his young signal caller last week. He threw a lot of passes, but he threw a lot of quick passes. He threw some misdirection passes. He changed the launch point. He threw some RPO passes that included bubble screens to put him in good run pass scenarios, things that Bo is familiar with that you saw him do on college tape at multiple locations. Thought he did a really good job of incorporating the screen game as well, staying on schedule. Got a nice division of labor with his backs. Williams is a downhill guy. 3-8 is a really good perimeter guy. Utilization of personnel. He got a couple fullbacks and H-back like people that they utilize, multiple tight ends, complementary receivers. Obviously, this is Coach Payton's. This is not Coach Payton's first rodeo. He'll do a really good job of working to keep us off balance, changing the pace of action, making us look at different things formationally and structurally. He does a good job of hiding offensive concepts within some of those pre-snap shifts and motions, particularly in situational moments. He doesn't give you a lot of time to digest what it is you're looking at. He builds the formation structure and then the ball snaps. And so it's really challenging from a communication and ball readiness perspective. We got to prepare with an edge on defense under those scenarios. And again, as I mentioned, just really familiarizing myself with Bo and somewhat surprised by his level of quarterback mobility and his impact on the game. I thought he was highly effective by design or by ad lib last week. He scored a touchdown late in that game with his legs. He extended some plays and made some plays. Again, as I said, they changed the launch point some with some misdirection misdirection passing that's challenging. We didn't have to deal with a whole bunch of launch point changes and quarterback mobility last week, and so this is a new challenge for us in terms of the regular season this year, and so we better respect that and prep to position ourselves to play. And then when you look at them on the defensive side of the ball, they got another veteran architect in Vance, Joseph, man. He's aggressive schematically. He does an awesome job of changing up personnel, specifically the situations. He plays some nickel 4-2, some nickel 5-1, some dime 41, given circumstances. He's multiple with his fronts. He gives you some awesome blitz structure on possession downs with the backers walked up. He's got a full complement or menu out of those structures. He's got some real good players, man, that he calls upon, man. They got a nice outside linebacker edge group. Cooper and company, man, Browning. Those guys are Benito. Those guys are talented. They're a young group. They play them all. I think all four guys in the outside or edge category played over 20 snaps last week. And that makes them difficult to deal with. It's multiple people. They're fresh. They're different skill sets and so forth. And so that's challenging. In the secondary, they turn the safety position over, but they have Pat Surtain back. And to be quite honest with you, man, he's as good as there is in the game. His pedigree is extremely high, as are his fundamentals. He's technically as sound as they come. I was at his pro day, man. He was just as impressive and as game ready as any corner that I can remember in recent years. And his tape is kind of reflective of that. And their newly renewed commitment to him in terms of long-term business is kind of reflective of that. They'll do a nice job of changing things up. They'll play to their environment. We better stay on schedule. If we get behind the chains in that environment versus a guy like Vance, it's going to be some challenges for us. And so we better do whatever is required to do that, to stay on schedule, to keep ourselves in manageable possession down circumstances. I thought that was key to possessing the ball for us last week. We stayed in manageable third down circumstances, a lot of short yardage ones, and you're going to win your share of those. And so that was helpful to the outcome of last week's game as well. And I failed to mention that earlier. Manageable third downs being a catalyst for winning it, winning those downs, and then thus possessing the ball. That's enough for me. I'll pause and then open it up to the floor for questions.
Mike, you said that Russ wouldn't practice tomorrow. I think you said do you expect him or think he might be able to restart on Thursday?
I don't know. I know we got a battery of some movement work for him scheduled for tomorrow. And then, as is our usual practice, we'll meet with docs after tomorrow's practice, and we'll probably have some more clarity then about what the rest of the week looks like.
If he's healthy, will he start on Sunday?
That's a big if. I'm not into the hypotheticals. As I mentioned, right now, he's not healthy, and so my time and attention is focused on the readiness of Justin.
Justin, to show you exactly, obviously a rough start with the CQ exchanges, but it seemed to kind of settle in as the game progressed. What did you see from him?
I thought it was just that. I thought he settled in as the game progressed. I thought he had clear eyes in weighty moments. I thought he was a good communicator in some of those moments where we had some discussions. We had a big third down play late in the game, 3rd and 7. We had a timeout. We came to the sideline. We talked about leaving the ball in his hands. We bounced around some suggestions. He was a major component of that discussion. We went out. We left the ball in his hands. We had a designed quarterback run. He moved the chains in those circumstances. It was a lot of good. It's just good to be in the stadium with a guy. You're speculating until you are, and I just know a heck of a lot more about him because of that experience. And I'm sure he knows more about himself in this environment and us, and so it's just really good things to build upon.
How much contribution were you able to get from Russell Wilson while he was on the sideline in Atlanta? What did he kind of add and help Justin with throughout the game?
You know, Justin's probably better positioned to talk about some of those things. I'm managing the game and the people on the field, and some of those sideline discussions and so forth happen among others.
How much of an asset can he be in Denver, even if he's on the sideline knowing that he has experience with this team?
You know, sometimes that's overblown, okay? If he's on the sideline, he's not making plays. The guys on the field are the guys that got to make the plays, and that's generally our mentality. We're not resistant to help, but we're not going to put it on a pedestal and make it appear to be more than what it is.
Justin mentioned that Russ was the one who told him he was going to get the start. Was that something Russ wanted to do or you wanted to do?
I'm not overly concerned about all that little cute minutia, to be quite honest with you. As long as the information gets passed and we ready ourselves for the work.
Your time down play you were referencing, was that on the final series?
Yes.
About 2 minutes or so.
Yes.
Mike, from a play calling perspective, what did you think about the balance between, you know, shorter, more convertible type throws, and then also picking your spots when to go deep?
You know, we were thoughtfully non-rhythmic in that area, and those were our intentions, and we need to continue to do so in an effort to stay a step ahead of the posse, if you will. Rhythm passing quells blitzing and rush, and obviously field flipping plays minimizes execution. I learned a long time ago, man, a 50-yard touchdown eliminates a lot of execution. And so we're going to aggressively pursue that as well. And I think you can do both. And that's why I described it the way that I did. We're thoughtfully non-rhythmic in those areas.
Getting to know Justin and how he runs when he decides to run. Are you finding that he's prudent when it comes to getting out of bounds, when to slide? How is he in that regard versus some other running quarterbacks in this
team? You know, I have no issue with how he managed that component of it Sunday in Atlanta. But it's a small sample size, and I just think that's always something that's going to have my attention because the quarterback's health is usually centered around that judgment, and possession of the ball is usually centered around that judgment. And so we'll keep progressing.
Mike, what did you learn about your new defensive additions like Deshaun Elliott and Dante Jackson once you got in the stadium with them?
You know, their veteran presence was evident. They're new to us, but they're not new to the NFL. And so I love their game day demeanor. They were communicative. They played with great energy. They were helpful to each other and others. And that's just stuff that you get from veteran players. New to us, but not new to the game. They weren't wide-eyed, and I didn't expect them to be. That's one of the reasons why we're really excited about acquiring those men that you mentioned.
When Troy Fautanu was injured, he was in the process of competing for a starting job. Now he's back, but the season has started. How difficult is it to continue that process?
It's more difficult, but we have a commitment to continuing it because we like what we saw from him during team development. He's deserving of that. His talents are deserving of that. And so, you know, we'll balance that the best we can.
Is he back to being full, ready to go, no restrictions?
You know, I don't know what that means, but he's practicing.
Mike, what was the thinking behind bringing back Terrell Edmunds?
You know, as a guy that knows us, a guy that we know, and during the course of this thing, particularly at this stage of the journey, you can't have enough of those scenarios. You know, might not be a significant need right now, but it might be a different scenario a few weeks from now. And that's really in the same spirit that we did business with Cam Sutton, if you will. When we got guys that we know fit, that understand this environment, that we know are capable of helping us, and we have an opportunity to do business, whether there's a tremendous need or not, we have an interest.
Mike, what can you say about your tight end room's versatility and what you guys were able to ask of them and how they delivered, particularly in different ways they blocked in the run?
You know, I was pleased with that collective. I've been pleased with that collective during team development. It is a diverse group, as you mentioned. We do a nice job of managing that group and highlighting what it is they do well, while at the same time not becoming so compartmental that we're predictable. And that's something to balance as well. But I just think the coaches and the players alike all manage that very well. And I just think the versatilities of the players make that a realistic discussion.
I want to evaluate Arthur Smith's first official game for the CRS.
1-0.
Mike, in that first quarter, when everybody thought it was fourth down, it turned out to be a first down, and you set the plan, did you know at that time that they might change that to a first down?
I knew it was first down. I wasn't aware that the sticks were saying fourth down because we have good communication with the officiating crew in game. And so I knew it was an earned first down. I didn't realize that the sticks were showing fourth down until after the down, and I saw the reaction, felt the reaction from the crowd and so forth. We were operating under the premise that that was first down.
Mike, Wilson played about half the snaps. What did you see?
I'm sorry? Yeah.
What did you see from him, and how have you seen him continue to grow?
You know, I thought it wasn't too big for him, which is a good start for a young guy. We divvied up the labor between him and the Landon Roberts to best fit their skill set as it pertained to that game. It might be different this week, to be quite honest with you. It's a specialization game at this point in the NFL, particularly at the linebacker spot. He has a nice skill set. He can run and cover. Obviously, you know what a Landon brings, man. He's a tooth chipper and always has been in the run game. And so we got some guys that can help us there. We'll continue to work that balance. But just in general, like what I saw from Peyton in terms of production and demeanor.
Back to Joe's question. The play on the first down, were you guys rushing to try to get the play off because the play was close before that? Where I think George got the first down and it was a close spot. Was there a sense of urgency to get that play off?
I don't know that there was a sense of urgency. The officials communicated with us that it was a first down, and so we moved on. It wasn't like we were trying to beat a challenge flag or something of that nature. We weren't in that mentality, no.
Is Jalen Warren fully healthy?
Again, that's a slippery slope in the football world. He's healthy enough, certainly.
Have you learned anything or taken anything away about preparing for the altitude in Denver after a half a dozen trips there?
Nothing earth-shattering, to be quite honest with you. Nothing that anybody else that goes there doesn't attempt to do, or a stone that everyone else in our business turns over. So nothing new or groundbreaking, no.
Mike, there are a couple instances where you had three outside linebackers on the field at the same time. What benefits do you have with that package?
It's just a one-dimensional passing moment where size in the front is less relevant, and so getting some quality rushers on the field.
Mike, I think you guys ran the second most read option plays in the first week of the NFL season. What does Justin Fields add, even just when he has to force the opponent to honor his ability to run the ball?
To be quite honest with you, we didn't run that many read option plays. They might have appeared to be read option plays because of the follow-through. That's why I laugh at some of those next-gen stats and things of that nature sometimes. Sometimes it's just the quarterback following through with a play fake after handing the ball off.
Mike, what did you see from Cam in his first game? And it looked like he was out on third downs. He was mainly 1-2. Is that right?
Who's that? Yeah, as he mentioned, you know, we're playing some outside linebackers in one-dimensional moments. And so if you put someone on the field, you take someone off. But I like what he brought. He played about 35 snaps, and that's moving in the direction of participation that we're comfortable with for the totality of this thing, but it was business as usual for Cam.
How do you evaluate the play of your offensive line, especially, you know, Spencer having to go in and make his first start?
I'm appreciative of the efforts and demeanor of a guy like Spencer, of a guy like Zach Frazier, who were in regular season stadiums in starting capacities for the first time. It was definitely a lot of positive things to build from. I like their attitude, their demeanor, and their finish. We'll keep working on the fine details.
Mike, as you might be aware, your quarterback position is a little bit of a national topic. So when healthy, is Russell still your QB1?
Again, I'm not going to soothe you with hypothetical scenarios. It is my general practice to not. You guys that know me know I do not. So why start today? Because it's the quarterback position or because it's a national story. I am unmoved by some of those narratives, to be quite honest with you. We got an approach to business. I always stand in front of you guys when people are somewhat limited. I say we'll push through our work week. We'll let their participation be our guide in terms of whether we include them and then the quality of that participation. This scenario is no different for me, respectfully. I understand that you have to ask that question, but it doesn't mean that we need to change our position or do things that are abnormal in the effort to answer it. We're just simply going to proceed with what we normally do. Our energies are and attention are on those that are available and are scheduled to play. They are deserving of that. When those that are not are healthy, we'll ponder it at that time.
Mike, is it still your policy that players have to practice fully on Friday to participate?
That has never been my policy. Young players have to practice on Friday. The older you are, the less significant that is. I treat everybody fair. I don't treat everybody the same.
Anyone else?
How did Scotty Wilson end up being the emergency holder? I guess he only had a couple of days.
Scotty Miller? I did a straw poll, man. I asked, did anybody hold in high school? And Scotty said, yes, I held in high school. But this was Thursday. And he got a little bit after practice, man. You know, flexibility is awesome. It's an asset to you. It's an asset to us. He has that in his wheelhouse. He put it on display on Thursday, and he went out and put it on display on Sunday. It's a pretty cool thing, man. But you get a lot of that around a professional football team, man. These are multi-talented guys. You'll be surprised. That's why I routinely ask, do you have any hidden tricks that I need to know about, particularly when I acquire a new guy? You know, I need to know all I can get about unique talents. And obviously, that was helpful to us, man, his contributions in that area.
Mike, when you guys didn't cross the end zone, you ranked fourth in time of possession. How much does that play into the identity that you guys want to play to keep your defense fresh for guys like T.J. Watt to make plays?
We just want to control the game. And so whatever that entails, we're not cutting it too fine at this juncture. You are what you become. You are what you emphasize, certainly. But it's just early stages, man. We're just trying to put together winning formulas at this point and get out of the gate with necessary wins, particularly because we've been in hostile environments and the challenges that's associated with that in week one and week two.
Mike Hayward said after the game that Ogunjobi was an unsung hero. What is a healthy Ogunjobi? How does that impact what you can do defensively?
You know, he's got a chance to be big-time disruptive. And he displayed some of that, and so I'm excited about watching that continue. He and I have had a lot of discussions, man. This has been an awesome offseason for him. He was healthy all offseason. He went into training camp and team development healthy. It allowed him to participate fully in the process, and really it's the first time he's been able to do that since he's been here. And so it's reasonable to expect the play to reflect that. I know he's excited about that component of it. I don't think any of us are surprised that he was a positive asset to us. And as a matter of fact, I can't wait to watch it continue because he's teed up for it.
How do you think Joey Porter did in his matchup against London? And he talked about the size matchup, the physical matchup, how that might have played in the same place, playing someone of like size, basically. And how does that translate to a Denver team that has lots of size at the wide receiver position?
You know, he did the job. He knows the job description. He wants the job description. He wants the assignment of matching up with people week in and week out. Got a lot of respect for Drake London and his talents and the way that they utilize him schematically. I thought Joey did an awesome job. But it's week to week in this business, and particularly at the cornerback position, because I'm sure there's a gentleman named Cortland Sutton that's waiting on him in Denver, for example. And that's the battle of playing corner in this league. But, again, he loves it, and I'm glad that he does.
How do you think Benny Bishop
handled his talent in the first game?
I thought it was a great start for him. I thought the things that attracted us to him were on display. He played hard. He tackled well. He had a couple of possession down stop tackles. I think he had a tackle on special teams. Really good start for an undrafted rookie, certainly.
Anyone else? All right.
Thanks.
Well, well, well. That was very interesting. Preparing as if Justin Fields will be the starter. The exact quote, as we sit here today, we are preparing as if Justin is our quarterback. And then, and I'm going to check the tape on this, so to speak. I've got City Limits looking this up, because as recently as last week, it seemed to me that Tomlin was saying, I've been transparent, I'm paraphrasing with you guys, that Russell, you know, basically he's in pole position, it's his job. Try to find that, because he now refuses to say that suddenly. Am I crazy? Or is this a marked change today in Tomlin's public stance on his quarterbacks? If I need to be corrected here, I will. But that's how I'm reading this. He was asked multiple times some form of, when Russell Wilson is healthy, is he still your quarterback one? That's what Kabali asked. Somebody else asked it earlier. If he's healthy, will he play? He won't say yes. All he has to say is, yeah, if he's cleared. Probably depends on which day. But if he's cleared, I've told you guys, he was the one in pole position. He's our QB1. He had every chance to say that and didn't. Am I reading that wrong, Limits?
No, I don't think you are at all. And the fact that I think Tomlin maybe saw something from Justin Fields, maybe that he wasn't expecting, because the turnovers have always been a huge part of his game, at least in Chicago. And he took care of the ball, other than that first drive where it was a fumbled snap twice. He didn't make bad throws downfield. He wasn't loose with the football, other than that first drive.
Yeah, I mean,
he
the whole
took
thing,
care of the ball, which is the main point of what we're talking about with Russell Wilson. He takes care of the ball.
Well, he also ran with it. You know,
correct.
Kenny Pickett took care of the ball.
It's the other element.
That wasn't good enough. But this guy, that is a fact. It wasn't good enough. Mike Tomlin is absolutely in love with the mobility factor. He hasn't hidden that over the years, that he'd love to have a guy like this. Now he's got him. And I'm really starting to wonder now, especially, if his stance has changed on Fields and Wilson. If he's healthy, is he going to play? Someone asked of Russell Wilson. That's a big if, says Tomlin. Twice. Had a chance to simply say, when Russ is healthy, he's the guy. Told you all along, he's in pole position. Pole position's one thing, Limits. Then the race begins. And people jockey for position. They move ahead of each other. And I was thinking, going in to this news conference, I just happened to be reading Pro Football Focus and their grades on the game. They gave Justin Fields the fifth best passing mark this past week in the NFL, behind Mahomes, Derek Carr, Sam Darnold, and Baker Mayfield. His big time throws, which are classified, you know, loosely as those that are into a tight window down the field a little bit, he ranks second only to Tua. League-wide. So my question going into this, if I had been at this news conference, would have been something along the lines of, Mike, there are some people out there who have graded Justin Fields very highly out of this game, even though you guys didn't score a touchdown. How did you grade him? How did you guys grade him? Like, was that an A-level game from your quarterback, B-level? And let me ask you folks out there, do you think that maybe Justin Fields played better than you originally thought? than a lot of people thought. 412-928-9370. However you want to read this, here's the deal. Justin Fields goes out and kills it on Sunday. You're not going to see Russell Wilson in game three. I can guarantee you that. And you know what Russ is thinking, because he was, according to Adam Schefter, lobbying to play the opener. He's thinking, if this guy goes in and plays well, I'm done. Here and maybe forever. That's all that's on the line for Russell Wilson. The Steelers have no financial tie to him whatsoever. No emotional tie, no history, no nothing. Fields, they now have a game. It was a win. It was the kind of win Mike Tomlin seems to like. He likes all wins, but it was one where his quarterback took care of the ball. Made plays with his legs. Things have changed. That's what I'm feeling right now. I feel like Tomlin's public stance on his quarterbacks has changed. Tell me I'm wrong.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
But as I sit here today, we're preparing as if Justin is going to be our quarterback. I think that's the appropriate way to do it. Speculation is a waste of time. Russell's hurt. He's not available to us. And so, as you guys know, as a general practice, man, I focus my energy on those that are available and their readiness. Just saw Justin. He just finished a good workout here today and excited about maybe going through a complete week with him in terms of the preparation process.
Well, that makes sense. I will say that. To have somebody get a full week. The fact that Russ isn't ready, it would appear, to practice, say, tomorrow, it just makes sense to give Fields the full week. But more importantly and larger than that, the vibe that I'm getting and also the words that Tomlin used, is Justin Fields the guy moving forward here? I can tell you this much. He is if he plays really well on Sunday. I have no doubt about that. Tomlin was given two opportunities to say, yeah, Russ is still our starter, but he's not healthy. He didn't say that. All he said is he's not healthy. Big if he will be. This is Fields' show for now. And this is like another live job interview for him Sunday against Denver. If he plays great, or even maybe just good, I think he's going to keep playing. Do you?
I do.
You're the one who called. You're,
this is what I want.
This. Yeah.
This is what I want. And even though it'd be great for the Stars to line and Russell Wilson to play if there was any game on the schedule, it's this game because it's Denver and I want to see the revenge factor. But Justin Fields, the dynamic that he brings, I think, in the running game, there's a little bit of finesse to his game, and he didn't turn the ball over. So you're talking about different dynamic with running the football, not turning the football over, even though the past has shown that maybe that's going to happen. I wonder if Russell Wilson still has anything left in the tank. And the injury, do you want to risk even Russell Wilson going out there and he's done?
That's the other thing here. If Russell Wilson were in Seattle getting ready to play a playoff game, I have to believe he'd be playing. I think he wants to play, by the way.
There's no doubt he wants
Schefter
to play.
Schefter reported that from Sunday.
But he's not 25.
He was lobbying to play.
He's not 25-year-old Russell Wilson anymore.
Yeah.
And his body clearly is not healing to the way that he still believes that it can because the doctors are telling him otherwise.
I guess.
So
But part of me wonders if he thinks he should be out there.
He probably does. I'm sure he does. This is the reason why he came here, with the assurances that he was going to be the guy.
Why was he running into a blocking sled?
He is probably so angry and frustrated with the strength staff as well for basically ripping this opportunity away from him because of that. I mean, why is he on a blocking sled as a quarterback in those type of strength and conditioning drills? I mean, it's just harm that doesn't need to be even risked.
Mike Tomlin was well known to be absolutely in love with Justin Fields coming into the draft that year. Jerry Dulac has reported as much, others nationally. Now he has him. And all he can do is compliment him and be surprised by him. That's one of the things that shocked me. He reiterated it after the game last week, but he told... Who was the woman who used to be on Good Morning Football? Kay Adams. Kay Adams. I believe he told her in camp that he was stunned by Fields' athleticism. Like, what? You studied this guy going into the draft, but now that he sees him up close, he seems to be even more enamored with Fields than he was in the first place.
Well, it's different when you see him on an everyday basis and you get to work with him as closely as the Steelers.
In spite of what happened in Chicago. So all I'm saying is I'm beginning to wonder if we're going to see Russell Wilson. I really am. And maybe it's reasonable to conclude that Fields, with a full week's work, will play better against a worse team than he played last week. I think the Falcons still have a chance to be pretty good this year.
Do you think that's one reason why they didn't use the middle of the field? Because they didn't have a full week of Fields? Or
maybe,
is that the playbook?
Maybe. That's a good question. Maybe none of his receivers were open in the middle of the field. I mean, conversely, from Fields getting a really good grade from PFF, the receivers beyond George Pickens got horrendous grades. Just horrendous. Van Jefferson, Calvin Austin III, two of the worst grades in the whole NFL league-wide. That tells me they weren't open. So we'll see this week. With a full week to... Listen... Here's one thing that I thought and said and wrote back when the national media was, maybe the national media was more right than we think. I mean, a guy that I respect, was it Tom Pelissero, I think, came out of La Trobe saying, hey, world, Justin Fields has more of a chance in this thing than you think. The local Steeler media, which forfeited its card, really, to criticize the national media, in my opinion, with everything that's happened. None of them had Kenny Pickett getting drafted by the Steelers. Go look it up. Except maybe Dale Lally. Nobody had the Steelers going out and cleaning out their quarterback room and bringing in Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. The national media was more pushing those types of sensational stories then, and they turned out to be true. So if the national media is saying that, hey, don't count out Justin Fields, or Tomlin is unbelievably enamored with this guy. I was listening at the time, and while I didn't agree with the idea that Fields was going to unseat Wilson out of camp, I did push the notion that he had moved up his timeline, and I absolutely pushed the notion that Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith have to at least be a little bit in love with the idea of a ground and pound offense with a running quarterback, an elite runner of a quarterback in Fields at the controls. That has to have crossed their minds.
Well, they see the dynamic of it in their own division twice a year. And how Lamar Jackson, even though the Steelers own them, own Lamar Jackson, which is true, but still, what he does to everyone else in the league.
Let's talk about this moving forward. Your thoughts on all this. We got a full-blown quarterback controversy. This is not, you know, pushing a talk radio topic or looking for clicks. You'd have to be extremely naive to think that when the head coach is asked twice today when Russell's healthy, is he your starter, and neither time says yes, simply just take reality for reality's sake here. Fields is playing this week for the second straight game. If he plays great, does anybody disagree with the notion that he'll play week three no matter what condition Russell Wilson's in?
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.